Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel, verse 44 through verse 53. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new that is being spoken into your heart at this point on your faith journey. Also, as you hear these words, reflect on what you heard just a moment ago from the book of Acts. Remember, the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are written by the same person. This is the end of Luke's gospel. You heard the beginning of Acts just a few moments ago. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. And then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, welcome to Pleasant Grove on Ascension Sunday 2018. Now, when you got up this morning, you all, first thing you thought to yourself was, hey, it's Ascension Sunday, right? Okay, sure. You can. As always, I like to preface my remarks by saying, I don't make this stuff up. You know, I make up a lot of this stuff, but not this. Okay, this is Ascension Sunday, the last Sunday of the Easter season. And that means that next Sunday is, now you're on to it. Pentecost. And next week, we traditionally think of Pentecost as being the birthday of the church, and therefore we celebrate our confirmation class, and we bring them into full membership as kind of a continuation of the tradition. Okay, Pentecost is next week. 2 weeks from today. Memorial Day is incorrect. Heathen. No. Trinity Sunday. Okay, never mind. Ascension. Ascension is a mysterious idea. It's a mystery. The mystery of, well, we'll talk about it in a minute. Now, I know you are confused. After all, most of us in this church, well, let me say, about a third of our church is Roman Catholic. About a third of our church is Methodist. About a third of our church is everything else or nothing. So, because most of our church comes from a Protestant tradition, Ascension Sunday has always gotten very little coverage. You don't hear much about it. It gets jumbled up in all those other holidays. You know, Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, All Saints Day. Chris said Arbor Day at the early service. That is not correct, Chris. Sorry. But anyway, we just kind of, basically, we're lucky that Christmas Eve and Easter, right? Those are kind of our biggies. But Ascension's important. Today is an incredibly important day. It's recorded in both the end of beginning of Acts, Acts 1, and the end of Luke's Gospel, 24. And that fact alone should tell you something about this day. It's that important that the gospel writer says, I've got to include this. Any story I tell about Jesus or about the church has to include a story about the ascension. So let's just recap a little bit. In short, following the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus appears to the disciples, and he instructs them to go into all the world and lead kingdom lives. In other words, they're to continue his work in this world. He says, you're my witnesses. You know, first of all, in Jerusalem, then Judea, which is a little bit bigger, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, even to Raleigh, North Carolina. That's the New Revised Standard Version. North Carolina. The ascension's big. It's a big deal. Think about it. The ascension of Jesus is a pivotal point in our theological history. It marks the beginning or the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus and the beginning of the ministry of the church. You know, it's Jesus is gone. Suddenly, followers are forced to become leaders. You can't just observe. You have to become a participant now. You know, they're following along Jesus, listening to what he has said. Now he's gone. Now you, to us. So ascension's big. The bottom line is the faithfulness of a church, any church, is judged by how it responds to the ascension of Jesus. How it assumes the mantle of responsibility for the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Ascension just. Okay. The story is not so much about what happened to Jesus' body, his physical body. It's more about what happened to his metaphorical body, the church. Remember that. Walter Brueggemann puts it this way. You know, it is clear, he writes, Walter Brueggemann is a world-renowned theologian. It is clear in these texts that the church struggled to voice a reality that ran beyond all its explanatory categories. It's beyond words. It's a mystery. First century people lived in a three-tiered universe. Heaven, earth, below the earth. Very simple. Up was good, down was bad. So if Jesus is no longer with you, he must be up. He must be up. The Gospel of Luke has just ascended. Don't be caught up in there is no up anymore. There is no up, there is no down. Wait. Don't get bent out of shape by that. Don't allow your 21st century mind to get in the way. Don't ask the wrong question about this text. You know, don't miss the point. The ascension is not about Jesus. It's about us. It's about us. It's about grappling with our lives as those who have responded to the simple words to follow. It's about what we do in this place and subsequently in this world through the living out of our faith. It's one of those what do we do now moments. You ever had a what am I going to do now? Sure. Life's going along just fine when something impinges upon your life in a dramatic way. Change happens immediately and irrevocably, and there's no going back. What am I going to do now? That's what the church was asked. That's what the ascension forces onto us. What do we do now? Do we just pack it in, go back to what was going on before that? Or do we rally together to find a way to be the living expression of Christ in this world? Well, you know what happened. We're here, right? Okay. Let me remind you that it's reported in ancient writings that a number of folks, maybe a majority of folks, we don't really know, converted to Christianity not because of what Christians believed, not about what they taught or they proclaimed, not based on doctrine or dogma. No. No, a lot of folks threw their lot in with the church because they were impressed by how Christians lived their life, especially the radical hospitality that they witnessed among the followers of Jesus. Chapter 2 of Acts. Luke gives us a brief glimpse into the life of the early church. And let me remind you of this. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. To put it very simply, the early church was a collection of folks who shared a common vision. We talk about that all the time, you know, of what life could and should look like. And this common vision was formed a common unity. And I always say the word community comes from that. And together they lived out the vision. The vision of the kingdom of God to which they had been called. Okay, jump ahead 1,900 years. And sometime in the middle of the 19th century, a few families living in this area, right around here, within 100 yards of this room, embraced that same vision. They came together and decided to reorder their life. They reordered their life around the call of Jesus and around the life of Jesus. And they formed a community called Pleasant Grove. And over the course of the next 17 decades, they invited people to be part of that community. And at some point, they invited you. They invited you to be part of that vision, of that community. And I always used to say they invited me, but they didn't invite me. The bishop sent me. So I'm sorry about that. You had no choice. Okay, anyway. You, they invited. And the fact that you're here indicates that at least at some level, you accepted that invitation. An invitation to share your life with those in this place. A few years back, we established our mission and vision statements, and you all know it. It's to be the body of Christ. Literally, to be the body of Christ in the world. And to do it through radical hospitality, by reaching out to everybody and embracing them, giving them a place to grow in their faith, and then to send them out to live kingdom lives. That's what we do here. That's what we do. We believe that we share that vision. Now, we have a lot of things we don't share, common vision. You know, it doesn't mean that we agree on everything because we're in this community. It doesn't mean we agree on what color the flooring is going to be in this room in just about 2 months. You may not like it. Too bad. Too bad. I'm sorry. No. You know, you may like whatever it is around you. We may not agree on that. We may not agree on, especially on the finer points of theology. We may not agree on what English translation of the Bible you should read. We may not agree on that. You know, we come from many different geographic regions. We have many different religious traditions here. We represent just about every point on the political spectrum. We enjoy a good debate on social issues. We have competing ideas on what form personal religious piety should take. In other words, how you live out your discipleship. But regardless of that diversity, we share a common vision that at our core, though many, we are one. We are the body of Christ. We are a community of Christ. Paul put it this way, for just as a body is one and has many members, for in the one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, we're all made to drink of the one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many, many. We laugh together. We cry together. We grow together. We learn together. We experience God together. I've been part of this community now for 25 years. And it's been life transforming for me. Through you, God set me and my life on a new course. A course I never would have met. I came here in 1993, and I was going to be 1 year. That's all I was going to do until June of 1994. And then I was going to go on to the university and teach. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I thought I was going to do. And look what you did to me. Look what you did to me. And then to you. You did to yourself. I said, I can't do for you what you did for me. But I can be with you. And how find a way to extend this vision further into this world. And you may or may not remember the United Methodist ad campaign of a few years back, Rethink Church. Yeah, that's how effective it was. Okay, anyway. As far as I can remember, the point of it was to remind folks that the true church is not an institution. It is the local expression of a grace-filled community. That's the church. And the tagline was wonderful. And of course, probably don't remember that either. So I won't call out anybody to recite it, but let me just share it. What if church was not a place we go, but something we do? I love that. That's Pleasant Grove. Look around you. That's the reason we're tearing the ceiling up and we're tearing the hall up. We tore stuff down. Pastoral theologian Danielle Shore says this. She says, the role of the church is to proclaim in our living the story of God. That's perfect. The role of the church is to proclaim in our living the story of God. She says this is expressed in two ways. First, we come together and we proclaim things. Partly to remind each other and partly to remind ourselves that we believe them. And I think maybe she's talking about things like mercy and kindness and acceptance and forgiveness and civility. And then she goes on. And the other thing the church is for is practice. You practice that. It's where we go, she writes, intentionally in community to practice being God's people and share our lives with each other. Practice makes what we proclaim real. So friends, I'll end with this, an invitation to you. If you are not already a part, and I mean an integral part of a community called Pleasant Grove, I invite you to throw in your lot with us. I invite you to walk with us into newness of life. I invite you to share your life with us so we can share our life with you. The ascension is about realizing that life is meant to be lived with others. With others in a safe, accepting, and grace-filled community where Christ's touch is made tangible and lives are transformed. We want you to practice your faith with us. Even if you've been here years, new things are afoot, folks. A new day is dawning. As we like to say around here, a new chapter is beginning. So stay tuned. Happy Ascension Day, or Ascension Sunday. Amen.